Hear the word of God as it is written in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 28, beginning at verse 1. In those days the Philistines gathered their forces to fight against Israel. Achish said to David, "You must understand that you and your men will accompany me in the army." David said, "Then you will see for yourself what your servant can do." Achish replied, "Very well, I'll make you my bodyguard for life." Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in his own town of Ramah. Saul had expelled the mediums and spiritists from the land. The Philistines assembled and came and set up camp at Shunem, while Saul gathered all the Israelites and set up camp at Gilboa. When Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid. Terror filled his heart. He inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams or Urim or prophets. He said to his attendants, "Find me a woman who is a medium, so that I may go and inquire of her." "There is one in Endor," they said. So Saul disguised himself, putting on other clothes, and at night and with two men went to the woman. "Consult a spirit for me," he said, "and bring up for me the one I name." But the woman said to him, "Surely you know what Saul has done. He has cut off the mediums and spiritists from the land. Why have you set a trap for my life to bring about my death?" Saul swore to her by the Lord, "As surely as the Lord lives, you will not be punished for this." Then the woman asked, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" "Bring up Samuel," he said. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out at the top of her voice and said to Saul, "Why have you deceived me? You are Saul." The king said to her, "Don't be afraid. What do you see?" The woman said, "I see a spirit coming up out of the ground." "What does he look like?" he asked. "An old man wearing a robe is coming up," she said. Then Saul knew it was Samuel, and he bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" And Saul said, "I am in great distress. The Philistines are fighting against me, and God has turned away from me. He no longer answers me, either by prophets or by dreams. So I have called on you to tell me what to do." Samuel said, "Why do you consult me now that the Lord has turned away from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done what he predicted through me. The Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hands and given it to one of your neighbors, to David. Because you did not obey the Lord or carry out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites, the Lord has done this to you today. The Lord will hand over both Israel and you to the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also hand over the army of Israel to the Philistines." Immediately Saul fell full length on the ground, filled with fear because of Samuel's words. His strength was gone, for he had eaten nothing all that day and night. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, I'm going to ask you, as we always do, to open your Bibles. We're in 1 Samuel today, and it's the second to last study we're going to do with you in this. It's been a longer book than normal, but I hope you found it helpful just working your way through it. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 28, and then we've got one more to do, and we're going to cover that incident that Elaine read to us where Saul goes to the witch at Endor, and Satan sends a counterfeit. A very frightening story there. But today we'll show you how God dealt with David. So 1 Samuel chapter 28 to chapter 30. And will you pray, please? It's been lovely to sing these great hymns, Lord, to be able to come and give with joy our money for you and your kingdom, so that the gospel may spread here in Pinetown and right across the world with our missions program. But now, Lord, we come to the Word of God. Oh Lord, please help us by your Spirit to clearly understand what's happening here, to apply to our own lives, and just to hear what you want to say to us. We thank you that you speak today through the Word of God, that the Bible is living and active and powerful, and that, Lord, our lives will be transformed, that we may become more like Jesus. Thank you for Friday night and the lovely supper we had together as a family. We're so grateful to you for your love to us. Pray for the missions breakfast coming up soon. And as we wrap up a very blessed year, we just want to say thank you again, Lord, for your amazing love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, just for a moment, if I had to just ask you this question, maybe one or two of you could help me this morning. I just say to you, what is to you the most encouraging verse in the Bible? What would you say? Who'd like to take a shot? What's the most encouraging verse that you hold on to in the Bible? Who said that? Romans chapter 8 verse 28. Betty, well done. That's a good one. All things work together for good. That's a great one. Another one? Psalm 91. What's that say? Shelter them. You rest in the shadow of the Almighty. That's a tremendous promise. Okay, just one other one. How much? Psalm 27. What's that? Okay. Good. Well done. Those are all, now I'm sure that each one of you have got different verses that you hold on to. Now I must say that I owe Betty a bar one. She got it right. Do you know, I want to suggest to you, friends, this morning as we come to this passage, that one of the most amazing promises that you will find right throughout the Bible is contained in Romans chapter 8, and verse 28, and it says these well-known words, we know that in all things God works together for good to those who love Him. That's the important thing, and who are the called according to His purpose. So what that is saying to us is that whatever happens in your life, is that all right? Whatever happens to you, if you've given your life to Jesus and your hope is in Jesus Christ, whatever happens day by day in your life is only for your good. Now you don't believe me. Now that is true. So if I could suggest it, I know you'll forget, but the best thing you could ever do when you wake up in the morning, before you make yourself some coffee and get the dogs and read the newspaper, the first thing that you say is, we know that in all things, God works together for good to those who love Him. The doctrine that is built on that verse is called the providence of God. Of all the great doctrines in the Bible, my precious friends, that is one of the greatest. And it teaches us that you and I, through Jesus, have come to know God. And as a result of that, His providence is at work in every single thing that happens. So take, for example, and then we'll turn to this passage. Take a man like William Cowper. Many of you know that William Cowper was a great hymn writer and a minister, but he suffered tremendously from depression. He got very, very, very down. And you may have heard the story that one day in his darkest moments, he just felt that that's it. And he wanted to take his life. And what he was going to do, he was going to get in a coach in London. This is going back many, many years, of course. And he got the guy to come to his house, and he hopped into the coach, and the man took him. He said, I want you to take me to London Bridge, the Tower Bridge. And when you're halfway over the Thames, I want you to stop. And you can go on, and then that's where I want to go. His intention was that he was going to jump and end his life. And it happened, as some of you know far better than I know, that one of those terrible fogs crept over London. And the coachman lost his way. And after an hour or so, William Cowper knocked on the coach. He says, where are you? I think stop. The guy said, I'm sorry, sir, but I'm lost. So Cowper said, I'm getting out. And he got out. And you know where he had come to? They'd done a complete circle, and it was right outside his house. And William Cowper, in his discouragement, went back into his home, and he went to his study, and he got down on his knees, and he wrote one of the most beautiful hymns that George Matheson and others helped him with and quoted. It goes like this. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. Remember that hymn? We must sing it more often. What he learned is that God sometimes does move in mysterious ways. And my dear brothers and sisters, it may happen to you. You may find yourself going through some dark valleys. You may find yourself going through some great hardships. There may be tears. There may be all sorts of things. And you may be tempted to say, hey, where's God in all of this? Or why has God allowed this? Or is this God's will? Or some very naughty people say, if this is what God wants, then I'm stopping. I want to show you this morning that David was just like we are. He had lots of weaknesses. He had lots of failings. He was a sinner like you and me. But the amazing thing was that God took him through some dark valleys, and he always came out stronger. And that's what I want you to take home with you this morning. So we're going to have a look at a very simple story. I'm going to show you the dilemma that David found himself in. Then we're going to have a look at his deliverance. And then thirdly, I'm going to show you the devotion that it drew David to in such an amazing way. Right, number one then, let's have a look at the dilemma where David was in. Chapter 28 and verses 1 and 2. In those days, the Philistines gathered their forces to fight against Israel. Achish said to David, you must understand that you and your men will accompany me in the army. David said, then you will see for yourself what your servant can do. Achish replied, very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel mourned for him and buried him in his own town in Ramah. Saul had expelled the mediums and spiritists from the land. Then the Philistines came and set up camp at Shunem, while Saul gathered all the Israelites. Do you know what, friends? It's an amazing passage that, isn't it? David made a mistake. He got tired of Saul. Saul was continually hounding him, wanting to kill him, wanting to get rid of him. And because he was like we are, he came to a moment when he said, I've had enough. And what he did was strange. He went over to the Philistines. David joined the Philistines, the enemy. And he said, I'll come to you. And I'll be with you. And I'll fight your battles. And I'll be at your beck and call. And so he sat under Achish. And Achish looked at David for a year. And whatever he wanted David to do, David did. Sent him on raids. David went. Brought back plunder. And Achish was very, very happy and went on for a year. David was living a double life. He was pretending to serve Achish, and yet he knew he was still the anointed king of Israel. And then one day, he got trapped. And Achish came to David and said, David, now we're going to fight against your people. Now we're going to fight against Israel. And David was caught. Because now he realizes that he cannot. He cannot. He cannot go and fight against Israel. He's the anointed king. He can't do that. But at the same time, he's caught in his web of deceit. He can't also go against Achish. And David was in a massive dilemma. And if I may, my friends, just remind you, that's what happens when a child of God compromises. You get into trouble. And sooner or later, it will catch up. Like what happened to David. A pragmatic compromise with the world and with its ways, however small it may seem at the time, is always a toe in the door for greater defections from biblical principles. You compromise on one issue, and you will find that you're going to get yourself into trouble. And when two of our boys, as you know, are married, and when they came to us and said, Dad, we're thinking of getting married, what would you say to us? Wonderful opportunity to sit down with your son and talk from the Bible. I said, my boy, the Bible only says two things. And that's all I want to say to you. Number one, it says, you must marry a girl. So he was quite happy with that. But I said, that's quite important. That's fundamental. And the second thing I said, and the only other thing you must remember, is you must marry a Christian. That's all. Doesn't matter what her background is. That doesn't matter to me too much. Doesn't matter what her color is. That also is not too particular to me at all. But you must marry a Christian. She must know Christ and love Christ. If you get out of those two things, you're going to get into trouble. And you know what? That's true for life. If you know what you should do, and you don't do it, and you go against your conscience, it opens the door for apostasy. So David is in a dilemma, and he cannot in any way get out of it. But let me show you secondly, deliverance. You know, my brothers and sisters, this morning, for those of us who have come to know Jesus, it's an incredible thing. It's the most wonderful, wonderful thing in the world that could ever happen to any person. To be wonderfully saved. And the promise is, once you are born again by the grace of God, God will never, ever let you go. Never. You will never, ever lose your salvation. Never. Because when God starts a work, He carries it through. Now you and I may make mistakes and do one or two things, but if we are really, truly saved by the grace of God, God is faithful and will bring us through. So how did it happen that David got out of his dilemma? Let me show you. The first thing that happened was, in verse 2 to verse 5, there were objections against David. It's amazing how it happened. Some of the officers of Achish came to Achish and said, "You cannot allow David to come with us." This is the same man that everybody was singing about. Saul's killed his thousands. David has killed his tens of thousands. They were very, very suspicious of David. So Achish says to his men, "What must I do to David?" And they said, "It's clear. Tell David, go. We don't want you here anymore, David. Go back home to your own people, but leave us alone and go." And so secondly, David was dismissed. He could never, ever, ever, ever have got out of his dilemma. But you see, friends, providence. That God uses anybody. God can use anything to achieve his purposes. I can try and illustrate it for you, just to think about and to chat about over lunch. Remember, the Israelites were in Babylon for 70 years. How were they going to get out of Babylon? It's the most amazing story. That God used a pagan man by the name of King Cyrus. In 538 BC, he comes and he says, "I give you permission to leave Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar brought you here, but you can now go back to your land. You can rebuild your temple. You can rebuild your city. You can start all over again. I give you permission to do that, and I'll pay." That's genuine. I will pay. It's the most incredible thing. And yet he's a pagan. He's a heathen. He didn't even follow God. But you see, providence. God caring for his people. And so you find here that the first marvelous thing is that God is faithful, friends. We are faithless. We make mistakes, but God is faithful. When you go home today, and you got a spare moment this afternoon, get down on your knees and say, "I'm so grateful that God is faithful. If it was up to me, I'd mess it up. But God is faithful." Isn't that wonderful? Number two, God is not only faithful, but God is Lord over all. He uses his enemies to deliver David. He gets his officers to come and to say to Achish, "Get rid of David." There's nothing that's impossible with our gracious Father in heaven. And so what was a period of hostility, in fact, becomes an enormous blessing for David. And one more time he finds, point D, where his security lies. His security in life is found in the Lord. Now, if I may say this humbly to you today, never, ever, ever forget this, please. That your security and your significance is only found in Christ. Doesn't sound amazing here today, but write it down and never forget that. My security and my significance is only in Jesus. Let me illustrate it just for a minute. If you say, "My security is my job," you could lose your job. Isn't that right? Or your security is your pension. Now, you know, funny things happen. You can lose that as well. Or your security may be your husband. Now, as hard as it is, you may lose your husband. Or your security may be your wife, and you may lose her. Or your significance in life, that great thing that drives you to wake up every morning and live, is your job. You know, I had a wonderful friend, a very, very close friend. He used to sometimes get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and go to the office. I used to say to him, are you mad? Are you crazy? Rather go make yourself some coffee and watch TV. But don't go to the office. He says, Warwick, that's my significance. When he got the deals, when he got the promotion, that gave him significance. A lot of people are like that. It's their work, or it's their sport, or it's their children, or it's their family. Isn't that right? If it is, you're in trouble. Big trouble. Because, my brothers and sisters, these can be taken from us in a second. The only security and significance that we have in life is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has loved us and died on a cross for us and been raised from the dead. And this precious Lord is the reason why we live. He's the reason. So the Apostle Paul could say, for me to live is, it's Christ. And to die is, it's gain. And that's what God is teaching David. Where's your security, David? Where's your significance? And so amazingly, and in his huge dilemma, David was delivered through the providence and kindness and mercy of a faithful God. And do you know what that does? The dilemma? He got deliverance. And what did that produce? The third thing. It brought David to a period of incredible devotion. It wasn't over. There was another hard knock that was lying ahead of David. So he leaves the Philistine situation where he was for a year, and he goes to his home in Ziklag. And listen to what happens. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They attacked Ziklag and they burned it. And they had taken captive the woman and all who were in it, both the young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. And when David and his men came to Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, their wives, their sons and their daughters taken captive. And so David and his men wept aloud until they had no more strength to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. You see, friends, it's still not finished. So he now goes back to his home, and what does he find? I don't want to be horrible, but imagine if you go back home after our service and your house is busy burning and you've lost everything. And your wife or your husband's been captured, hijacked. Your kids. That's what happens. David now gets back and my home's destroyed. Abigail and Ahinoam were gone. His children gone. And all his men that had been with him. It's been an amazing taking you through 1 Samuel. Remember all the ups and downs we've been to the cave of Adullam and all of that? These men that stuck to David, now they've turned. And they say, David, it's your fault. It's your fault. And they criticize him incredibly severely and harshly. Some even wanted to stone David. But you see, that's leadership, isn't it? To be a leader demands real spiritual, moral, and physical fiber. House is burnt. Wives gone. Kids have gone. My men want to kill me, stone me. Where's his security? Where is David's significance? Listen. But David found strength in the Lord, his God. Isn't that a great verse 6? David found strength in the Lord, his God. He brings it before God, and he goes against the Amalekites, and brings renewal. In verse 9 to 20, he rescues them, brings all the wives back and all the children back, and then thirdly, he rewards his men and returns whatever they have lost and have all given back to the men of Ziklag. But what was the secret? The secret was David found his strength in the Lord. You know, friends, we're living in hard times, aren't we? They're difficult days. Maybe one or two of you have come in here today. Things are not going so well for you. I want to encourage you this morning from David's life. I want to remind you today that if you've given your life into the hands of Jesus, that he's promised you. He's promised that everything is going to be for your good. May not be easy, may not be nice, but it's for your good. God brought him out of Achish. And God has helped him at Ziklag. And you know why? Because he's learned one of the greatest, if not the greatest lesson in life. And that lesson in life is this. My security and my significance is my God. And that strengthened him. For you and me today, that's the answer. A living, strong relationship with Jesus. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, we wake up tomorrow morning and we love living. We love it. We're excited because Christ is our security and our significance. And we can live every moment of every day for him and extend his kingdom in this lost world. Let's pray together. Maybe it will be helpful just for a moment if we just close our eyes and just to give you all an opportunity to pray and to bring before God all the issues that you may be working through at the moment. Perhaps like David had to work through the dilemma he was in. And to ask God to bring you the most wonderful deliverance and to help you also to get to that point of devotion where you love him more than you've ever loved him before. Bring it to the Lord. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. And I came to Jesus as I was, weary, worn and sad, and I found in him a living head, and he has made me glad. Precious Lord, thank you so much for loving us. As unworthy and sinful as we are. And thank you that through the ups and downs of life, you will never let us go. And thank you that your providence is working so that whatever we go through in life is always for our good. Encourage anybody here today that needs a fresh touch from God. And I pray for all of us, our security and our significance will only be found in Jesus. And we ask it in your precious name. Amen.